There are points in your life that you have to be like unrelentlessly selfish about. And I'm like probably the most selfless person when it comes to almost everything in my life, except for what I have to do every day that makes me happy. So as a mother, I'm very selfless, but as a business owner and what I choose to work and do every day, I'm very selfish. And this is what I love to do. So I'm happy with the choice I made.
Welcome to the Shift Your Day Job podcast. I'm Brittany Cates, career coach and fellow career shifter, here to help you leave unfulfilling work behind. Every Thursday, I share stories, strategies, and confidence-boosting insights to help you gain clarity, take action, and create a career you love. Let's shift your day job together. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Shift Your Day Job podcast. Today, I'm so excited to introduce Juliana Van Lannen, the co-founder and CEO of Two Mama Bees, a company that's transforming playtime for families with eco-friendly, heirloom quality outdoor playhouses and toys. Juliana's journey started with a simple idea: two lifelong best friends handcrafting backyard playhouses for their kids. Now, Two Mama Bees is a brand known for sustainable design, sensory play, and fostering parent-child connection. Each piece is proudly crafted in the U.S. by Amish artisans, blending thoughtful design with unmatched quality. In this episode, Juliana will share how she turned a backyard hobby into a thriving business, her passion for sustainability, and her mission to empower women entrepreneurs. Please welcome Juliana to the podcast. Hi, Juliana. How are you today?
Hi. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I'm really excited to learn more about your background and what kind of led you to this business of now thriving and really been successful. So if you don't mind sharing, that would be amazing.
Sure. So when we first started Two Mama Bees, it really was just, it was going to be like a fun little weekend gig. My business partner at the time had three children and her son was diagnosed with autism. And during that diagnosis, she lost a bit of her sense of self. So I was working corporate America at the time. I was the president of a global transportation technology company. And so it really was just that this will be fun. We can get the kids together to play and we can kind of build things for our own home. And we threw them up at our Etsy shop with like hope that maybe somebody would order one now and then, but it wasn't a huge loss if they didn't. And it actually kind of really resonated, obviously, because within the first year of starting our Etsy shop, we had over 1,000 sales. And so that little backyard Etsy shop went from Samantha, who was my business partner, to her backyard, to my backyard, one warehouse, to two full-time warehouses, and me going and quitting corporate America to pursue this full-time. So, but even in that transition as well, it wasn't what it is today. The company has continued to organically grow. And we really saw, I guess, kind of the niche of the market once we had painted what is now one of our competitors' playhouses. So we painted it, added some window boxes, threw it up and thought like, maybe somebody will like it. The market loved it. So we were able to take that feedback through our days with our Etsy shop and really then go and curate a line of products telling us they wanted. And thus, Two Mama Bees was born. And we launched our own brand of playhouses in October of 2021. So just roughly coming up on our fourth year here. And it's been an incredible journey thus far. And now, yes, we are sold in over 150 retail stores, including Target, Walmart, Sam's Club, Wayfair, all the big box. So
I love this idea of listening to what the market like wants and then taking that and evolving the idea from there. Which it just, you start something in one way, right? Thinking, oh, like this is what they're going to want or need. And it's often the case where people are going to actually tell you, actually, no, I can see that you're really good at this and I want more of that from you, you know? So,
yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing I think a lot of people, when they come and ask me, like, how do you think you were able to really build a brand name so successfully in such a short period of time? And I think that's always my answer, is that I've listened to the market. So I think a lot of people, they'll love something. And there's products that we've launched that I loved that I personally thought were going to be home runs, and they weren't. They were a home run for me personally, but not for the masses. So I think one thing I always say is if you are going to launch something, try to go at it with the least amount of inventory to start. Roll out pre-sales, do whatever you can to get the word out about what you're trying to sell prior so that you can gain that market feedback before you invest capital dollars in huge campaigns and huge amounts of inventory that could really end up having you upside down. So speaking on that, yeah, that is something that I always try to focus on when I'm talking to other people.
Oh, it makes me also think of like kind of letting go of the outcome a bit, right? Like, okay, I'm going to put a little bit out there and we're just going to see how it goes rather than I've like invested so much time and energy. I'm like so worried about the result, right? And I think that those are kind of two sides of one coin in a way.
Just again, you have more control over your fate than what I think most people experience or give themselves the benefit of the doubt that they can. I think people just decide that they're going to jump 2 feet in, and that's not always the best route to go. Kind of tiptoe your way into that deep end and make sure that the market is actually talking back in a way that's productive and that you're going to make sure that you have longevity to what you're doing.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a diving headfirst into something new situation, right? It's viewing it in a way that's like, okay, I'm going to try this and see what happens and pivot along the way and be okay with that.
Yeah.
Another thing that resonated with me about your story is the fact that it kind of took off in a way that you weren't expecting. And it goes along a bit with what you just said. We don't give ourselves the benefit of the doubt or the credit that we can do something and it can take off. Like we're always we think it should happen a certain way, right? And we're not always open to letting the universe or God bring to us what we need and allow it to grow more organically. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. And I think a lot of it is allowing for organic traction to come your way. So not forced interaction. To Mama Bees, we still have not ever spent a single dollar on marketing ads. And that's another thing, is just seeing what kind of revenue and what kind of brand recognition we could supply without putting the dollars behind it. I mean, this year we have a big push coming, but that's because the market has spoken, obviously. And we know, yeah, it is time to now invest these dollars. So I think every transition, if you are able to hold back as much as possible, learn the processes on your own, that even could be integrated within the business. So do you need a CFO day one? Absolutely not. You don't, right? Like, yeah. I mean, maybe some jobs do. If you're a tax firm, that might be a good idea. But for the rest of us, you can hire interim positions. You can do a lot of it by yourself until you get to the point where you're like, no, now it is necessary to take this next leap, to take this next step, to like put these investment dollars behind something that is going to help with the growth of the company overall and the well-being of the company overall. Making sure that you're not pushing the company to grow too quickly, too soon. Allow that organic traffic to come your way. Capitalize on it when it does. I say yes to everything. If there is an opportunity in front of us, it would be hard pressed to say no. I think every opportunity gives you a chance to have a new experience, to learn a valuable lesson sometimes. Even with a lot of our retailers in our market in the consumer product world, manufacturers will only select a few retailers to sell through. That was not how we played ball, right? That's not how we did business. So we had some great retailers who believed in us early on. And I think I kind of passed that down to other retailers as well that came to us that were more of the mom and pop and just getting off their feet. And maybe they weren't even launching for another 3 months, but they wanted SKUs on their shop. So that's how we ended up on so many different retail platforms. And in our industry, in the swing set industry, the big players are the big players, and they've been there for 50 plus years, right? Mm-hmm. And it became stagnant, and there aren't a ton of new players coming out. So I let the retailers kind of do that for us. You know, by investing in all those different relationships, it really gave me the opportunity to get the word out about the company without having to invest all the marketing dollars myself.
Yeah, I love that idea of building the relationships, because I just think about the big, probably box brand, like big names that have been there for 50 plus years or whatever. They're not really, they probably feel like they're pretty established. And so as a newbie coming in and building a relationship and a rapport with these places, I think it gives you kind of a leg up because they feel a connection to you and your mission, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then they're more, you know, because when a lot of these brands don't answer the phone or just say no, which a lot of them do, and I'm sure they have their reasoning for it, they're not going to talk as highly about you as well, you know. So that was another thing. I mean, we are a baby in this industry. We just wrapped our third year in business. That's nothing compared to the businesses that have come before us. So, you know, really having that leverage of being able to lean heavy on other people who are trying to make a name for themselves. And e-commerce is where everything is headed. You know, if you are willing to invest the time, it is a very passive career, if you can make it that way, with owning, not mine anymore, it's not passive at all, but it used to be when it was an Etsy shop. But just owning an online e-commerce store can be very passive, secondary income.
Right. How do you think your background in the corporate world kind of helped you as you began this new business and started making decisions and moves?
People ask me that question a lot. It was so drastically different, the two businesses. I own a manufacturing company now. I had no background in manufacturing anything. Yeah. Every lesson I've learned the hard way by making mistakes throughout the process. Running a company, building relationships, working sales, climbing my way up a corporate ladder. Of course, there are a million things I learned from the corporate world that I was able to then take and implement in the job that I am in today. And even just building the confidence. At that time, I was running a company that, you know, had hundreds of millions of dollars in sales year over year. So yeah, I can confidently sit in the position I am as CEO of Two Mama Bees and say, I know how to grow. I know what needs to be done, and I can lead this company in the correct direction to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, I asked that question because a lot of people maybe don't see their transferable skills that they have moving from one area to another. And when you say like what you were doing in corporate is like completely different than what you're doing in your own business, like there's still going to be learning curves, but you're able to recognize, especially, you know, now that you're in it, right? Like where those transferable skills have come into play. And also, like you mentioned, that confidence that you had going into your own business. Like, well, I've done this before in this way. It might look a little different, but I have done it before. Like I can do it over here as well. And so I think
absolutely,
that's a great example.
Yeah, I think, and even maybe just to touch on one example, so I was the president of the company, but I started in marketing. So I started as their director of marketing. I really didn't have any business to be the director of marketing. I was in med school. So every kind of position I've ever taken throughout life, and now I'm a med school dropout because I took that position. But every step, you learn as much as you're willing to learn. If you listen, and a lot more of it, you're going to learn just through listening and hearing other people's lessons along the way as well. With that director of marketing role, I was then able to implement a lot of what we did marketing wise, even though it's drastically different industry, drastically different people that I'm speaking to. Before I was speaking to the chief of police. Now I speak to buyers at Target. I am able to transfer a lot of the information that I learned. A lot of the basics and fundamentals of everything you do are pretty cross-comparable across all industries. It's not, nobody's doing anything that drastically different than somebody else when you look at the basic fundamentals of running a company. When you really break it all down, all industries, yes, you're selling something different, but you're still selling something. It could even be yourself. That is something that I have to do daily. I have an incredible product line. I love the products that I create. So it's easy for me to talk about them. But really, I am selling myself 90% of the time. These buyers like the product. If they hated me, they probably wouldn't buy it. You know, they probably wouldn't want to sell it on their site. So yeah, I do think the fundamentals, anybody who would be scared or think like, what I'm learning now, I won't be able to implement on this next journey. No. You should always keep falling forward.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for that reminder, because I do think it's important to bring up the fact that like we all have something to bring to the table, but yes, the foundation of creating relationships between people and communicating, right? Like those are all foundational, like human like skills that we just need to have in general. And so being the, I don't know if it's necessarily the likable person, but selling yourself and your value is going to take you a longer way than just trying to sell the product or yourself. Like I think of interviews that you might go into and you're just so, like so nervous about what they're thinking about you, and you're not actually showing up as your best self. But if you did, and there's that connection there, they're more likely to be interested in the value you bring as well.
I think, you know, something can be said for, what do they say, like C students around the country, you know, like everybody thinks they have to fall back on whatever college degree. Like I just said, I mean, I didn't even graduate high school. I got my GED and then decided, well, maybe I'll go try med school years later, years and years, almost a decade later. But for me, had I just relied on the fact that, oh, I thought I was going to be in med school, I wouldn't at all be where I'm at today. That is for sure. And that probably wasn't the right path for me, because I can hardly deal with it when my kids get like a bloody nose. I almost faint. So, you know,
yeah.
Life has a funny way of being like, that was not the direction that you were intended to go. And they're going to steer you over here and you need to just follow suit.
Yeah. Can you recall or share in that instance where you maybe had the opportunity to move into that marketing position, or even maybe moving from corporate into now I'm going to walk away from it and go into my own business? Like, what was it about that opportunity aspect that called to you and said, yes, I can leave this over here behind because this resonates with me more? This is what I really want to be doing, instead of maybe playing it safe, like, or saying, oh, I've invested this much time in med school, I should keep going, whatever.
Yeah. Well, at the time, so I should correct myself, I was pre-med, but at the time when I was offered the position, I was working just doing side marketing things for the company. And then they had asked if I would step in the role as director of marketing, that I was a single mom and really needed the money. Okay. So it just made a lot more sense for me overall. Pre-med and then med school was not going to go anywhere. I could close up shop and then go back and finish out if I wanted to follow a medical degree. I mean, it's there, it exists. It's not going to stop existing. As far as the role of stepping into CEO and leaving corporate America, it was a much riskier jump. Still a single mom. I had a nice cushiony job at the company that I was running. I loved it. I loved the people I worked with. I loved the mission of what we were doing. I saw the value. I saw that things were selling, but it was scary. It was a scary leap of faith, one that I did not take lightly. And I probably worked both for way too long, because I was working, obviously, my corporate day job, and then I would leave there and my kids were having dinner at the warehouse with me, because that was what my life, my business partner at the time was not the one taking on the entire load. And then I was working weekends there and I was kind of burning both ends. When I really sat and thought about it, I guess I had that same perspective in mind that corporate America wasn't going anywhere. I already climbed one corporate ladder and I did it successfully and I did it with intent and intelligence. And so I knew I had it to fall back on. But what was going to go somewhere was that Two Mama Bees would not exist if I didn't take that leap of faith. Thank God it all worked out in my favor, because it is now obviously a thriving and successful business that is growing exponentially, even more so than I could have ever fathomed what we would become. And I'm able to grow and learn through that process. And probably now I'd be more valuable if I ever said I want to go back to corporate America than I could have ever been by staying in that position, you know, especially when there's people that are depending on you to make the right calls in life. It was a good risk reward assessment, I would say, one I spent many nights thinking about before I finally really took that leap of faith.
Thank you for sharing that, because I think it's so powerful to reflect on for other people to kind of, you know, listen to your experience and your thought process through it, and then maybe start thinking a little bit differently than they might have been for a while, you know, because there is that risk factor that keeps people sticking in their jobs longer than they probably should. I did that, and plenty of people do that. And yet we all have such individual situations that it is important to weigh the risk versus reward piece. But I love the perspective shift of it's always going to be there if I need to go back.
I think people really undervalue the fact that America needs employees. This whole world needs employees. There is a job if you're willing to work it. It exists. Yeah. So, you know, finding a way to be happy. We have one life. I think that was another thing. My mom got sick at a very young age, and life is really short, shorter than I think a lot of people think. And so if you are not waking up every single day just feeling fulfilled in what you're doing, you need to change something. Because nobody should have to wake up every single day being unhappy with where they spend the majority of their time. I spend the majority of my time working. There was a point where I spent more time at work than I did with my own children. And that didn't resonate with me. So that was probably another part of the push for me. One big, like, non-negotiable I have is I pick up my kids from school every single day. And I have a block off on my schedule from 2 to 3, and nobody's allowed to put anything on my schedule during that time. Because I pick up my children and I get to hear about their day and I get to be engaged in what they did. And that means something to me. That's important to me. So yeah, if you're unhappy, there is a job out there for you. I mean, even us, we're always hiring, right? So we're constantly trying to find new ways to hire more employees and build an atmosphere that really does resonate with people to be joyful and somewhere that they like to work and somewhere that they're engaged and they're empowered when they're working there. And so, yeah, you know, if you're thinking about it, then it's probably time that you really start shifting and making those changes, because the only reason you would be thinking about changing is if you weren't fulfilled in what you're doing. Because I don't think about changing at all anymore. I am so like utterly fulfilled in what I do every single day.
Thank you for that reminder. And to know that it's like, you're an example that it's possible to be in a job, a career where you're like, I don't second guess it at all. Like, this is what I want to be doing. And we all deserve to feel that way. So if you're not feeling that way, then let's investigate. Let's get curious. Let's figure out what we need and what's missing. Then start taking steps from there. You know.
Absolutely.
Can you talk to me about maybe your support system that you had as you transitioned or were making that decision to leave corporate and go into this full time? Who was your support system to help you maybe have that courage to follow through and to do
that? Yeah, you know, I mean, of course, my business partner at the time, my kids, as much as they probably would be like, we were a support system, like we were so young, but well, they weren't that young. My daughter was at that time, she was 14. So, you know, it was a lot of conversations about that and what change could look like in our lives. Then were they willing to kind of go through that change with me? And they were. I mean, kids have an unwavering support in their parents. So I think it was more me just like making sure that they understood. And then my dad. My dad has been just my rock for, you know, my entire adult life. And he probably believes in me more than I believe in myself sometimes. And that's really helpful. So, you know, lean heavy on the people around you that are there and support your dreams. Not everybody did. All the people that I worked in corporate America with thought I was crazy. And these people were close friends. They thought it was the craziest thing that I could possibly do. But you got to drown out that noise for yourself and for your own well-being. I mean, there are points in your life that you have to be like unrelentlessly selfish about. And I'm like probably the most selfless person when it comes to almost everything in my life, except for what I have to do every day that makes me happy. So as a mother, I'm very selfless, but as a business owner and what I choose to work and do every day, I'm very selfish. And this is what I love to do. So I'm happy with the choice I made.
Thanks for sharing that. I could tell when you mentioned your dad that it is a special relationship. So thank you for sharing that.
Even now, he's still, I mean, there's still days where things happen. Like running a business is not super easy. That is for sure. Like going into that, I mean, if you are not meant to be a business owner, you're just probably not meant to be a business owner. And not everybody is. I actually sit on a board, Women in Manufacturing, and one of the girls I was having a conversation with, and she was like, what goes through your head? Because I could never, I'm such a 9-to-5er. And I'm like, yeah, and I was never a 9-to-5er. Like, I did not have it in me. Some things are a bit unteachable. The amount of stress that you endure, I mean, it would take a lot of people to their knees, like a lot of people. I can handle immense amount of stress, and people wouldn't even realize that anything was happening. So if you don't have that ability, maybe just find yourself a nice job where it's reliable and things, because this is not it. But yeah, even still, I have my moment. I'll call him and say like X, Y, and Z happened today and we're going to close up shop. And he's like, you're not closing up anything. You are fine. And sometimes you just need that reassurance, cheer yourself on. But then eventually it gets like a little like, am I insane? Or it's true. He has been a great, great support system and it's a great sounding board for a lot of the tough days.
I've been kind of reflecting on that a little bit in regards to like, yes, it's important to love yourself, have compassion for yourself, cheer yourself on. But there does always come a point where you need that outside validation or you need that external support of someone to kind of give you a perspective shift, especially in the hard times, even when you're trying your best to get yourself through the hard times, right? Like we need each other.
Yeah. I think also now, like, because I think when you asked the question, like it was when I made that decision, but now today where I stand today, I surround myself with a lot of like-minded business owners, some of which just happened by chance because I sit on a lot of boards and I'm very involved in my community and in outreach programs and charities. When you find the like-minded people, it's easy to be able to have those tough conversations and then be like, this is happening. Well, I went through that and here's how I was able to overcome. And so, you know, finding your people is a really huge part of life as well. And I think that's really where my life is at now. I consciously choose the people that surround me and that I spend time with based on, you know, can they resonate with where my current life stands? Because that's a big thing. I mean, in dating and anything in life, right? Like you want to make sure that the people that are spending the most amount of time with you, that know the most amount of details about your psyche and what's going on, have the ability to actually contribute to those conversations and to your growth and to, you know, your potentials. So that's really important too. And I've gotten really lucky in that way, but I had to search it out. Like they didn't just show up at my doorstep or walk through my office door. I had to go and find networking events and find different resources and sit on different boards and really put myself out there to be able to be surrounded by those type of like-minded people now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for that reminder of like, it takes me back to, you know, the success in your business, right? Like you have to go out and make that happen, right? And that's the same thing with finding these like-minded people who are doing something similar to you. So you have that group of support and people you can turn to who can relate and who fit into your life, like you said, who understand where you're coming from and can help you when you need it and give you, instead of taking the energy or the, you know, bringing the vibe down, right? Like bringing it up and giving you that energy to keep going. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to level up, right? Because that's what, I mean, as humans, we should be doing. Like, as we grow, we should evolve. And hopefully that evolution is happening in a forward way. Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit more about, I mean, I know you said you listen to the market to kind of help you determine the product that you're selling and creating, but I know that like sustainability is something that's really important. And there's other like things that make your, is it playground equipment? What kind of drew you to those things? Like sustainability is super important, right?
Yeah. I thank you for asking that question, because this is something I could probably talk about all day. So when we launched our brand, our first run we brought from overseas, from China. And it was similar in what the products actually looked like, but the consistency of the quality wasn't there. And we went back to the drawing board in year one and brought all manufacturing to America. And so for me, I am the type of person who likes to push the boundary as far as humanly possible. And then you start to see things like your competitors copying you. And I'm like, okay, good. 60 years, you finally want to change. It's about time. And little old me is the reason that you're going to do it. Let's push it even further. Let's hold your feet to the fire a little bit more. I mean, on top of that, first and foremost in life, in general, I am a mom. I have three kids. They are my world. I eat, sleep, and breathe them. There is nothing in this world that I would not do for them. So if there's nothing in this world I wouldn't do for them, why would I not create products that I would also become a consumer of? Mm-hmm. Right? So okay. I think now the way that I think about my brand and make changes to my brand is as a consumer. We have everything at the tip of our fingertips, right? Like, I'm an 80s baby, which maybe you are, you look younger than me, but we didn't used to have those options. And so our parents just went to the store and they bought whatever was on the shelf. But now we have the ability to research what we're doing, to know what our kids are putting in their mouth, to know what our kids are touching and playing with, and it becoming part of their daily habits to see. So we took all of our manufacturing back to America. Then we pushed it a little further. We now only source our wood from America. Then we push it a little further. We work with a company called American Forest, where we replant trees for every product that's sold. So we're actually giving back to the exact same forest that we're taking from tenfold. So our Rain two-story playhouse, which is our largest swing set, takes roughly one tree to build. We replant 10 for every one sold. So now we're continuing this process. But then I just push it even more. Now I sit on all these sustainability committees and I listen to what they're doing and how are they changing and making changes in the market. And one of the most recent things that we implemented, so all of our product that are our outdoor playhouses come with real plant window boxes. That's to create environmental consciousness in children at a very young age, right? So you have the ability to go out there and plant a little garden with your kids, and it's their house. That's their little house. They get to go take their watering bucket and they can water their plants. Now it hasn't launched yet, but it'll be launching by the end of March. We are replacing all our instruction booklets with seed paper. So when you're done assembling the playhouse, you can plant it in your window box and it will grow wildflowers. So really finding ways to do what everybody else isn't doing, but they probably should have been doing, because there is no way that I am just the most innovative person on the planet that I have decided, like, I am not Elon Musk. Okay. So like, I have not just decided that all of these things were possible. I just went and did that. Yeah. Like, I just went and said, these are all the right things to do and we'll see how far we can go. And I do see the changes in these other companies. If you go and you look at a lot of our marketing materials, just like how we recycle and how we make sure that we're crossing all our T's and dotting all our I's as far as making sure that all of our products have passed all of the correct toy testing guidelines that a lot of these other ones weren't doing. It's like, now they're doing it. Okay, well, you probably should have done it a long time ago because little kids are playing on these. So it's things like that. Why? Because it matters. Because I'm a mom and it matters. And I sell to moms and grandparents and caregivers, and I know their kids matter to them too.
It makes me think of something that I've learned from one of my mentors is that, like, we as women are so powerful and we have so much influence. And anytime we do something new or different or speak up or put something out there in the marketplace, like, we're going to provide so much value and also be taking care of other people in the process, right? Like, as women, we're nurturers and we care about what we're doing or what we're putting out into the world, right? And so just your influence has, like, one thing after another, you're just making the world a better place. And then it's influencing these other companies to start doing the same things that maybe they weren't doing because of budgets or legal, you know, things stopping them, or people maybe were speaking up at the company, but they weren't high enough on the ladder to make the impact they were wanting to make. And so I just,
yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Profit. I would say that contributes to most of it for them.
Their bottom line, they're not really going to resonate as much. But,
you know, I've been able to do it and created a successful and profitable company. We are a profitable company. So
yeah,
if I can, I'm sure they can as well. And yeah, that's one thing. Our products are also heirloom quality. So I think what you see with a lot of our competitors is that after a season, maybe you'll get two seasons out of a product, then the wood is rotting and it doesn't look pretty anymore. And it's kind of the eyesore in the backyard. Our products are meant to last. So they're able to withstand generational use. And that's another thing. I don't need to resell the same swing set to a family 14 times in their child's youth. I can do it once. And I know that I've made a better impact in that way overall for the well-being of that family and every family to follow. Sitting on the sustainability committees, I really just spend a lot of time listening to what everybody else is doing, how their ideas come about. The seed paper, I actually thought of the idea while we were on a sustainability call, and the woman was talking about creating cards, like the greeting cards, and using seed paper. And it was like, wow, to me, I was like, what a great idea. Because, you know, you read a card and it could be impactful and meaningful. Why not then take this card that meant so much to you, plant it, and it, like, grows a rose flower or something. You get to look at it on a regular basis and be reminded of that time. So, yeah, I thought it was really impactful. And I'm like, how can I take such an impactful moment that I just had in my own mind and translate it to something that True Mama Bees could do? But yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Again, listening to the market, listening to other people and your circles brings these ideas to the forefront and then helps drive the success. Yeah, because you're paying attention. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here. I love your passion about what you're doing. And I think even before meeting you and learning more about it, just reading what you were doing really impressed me. And so I was really excited to have a chat and learn more. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It was nice to meet you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Shift Your Day Job podcast. If you've loved this episode, leave a review. It helps more women find the show. Feeling stuck in your career? Let's connect. Follow me on social media at Shift Your Day Job, or email me at shiftyourdayjob@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Brittany Cates. Let's shift your day job together.